The painter Picasso said it best, I think. Good artists copy, great artists steal. That's right. Originality, you see, is overrated. Big time. For instance, when Aaron Copland needed a symphonic hit, he just ripped off the Shaker hymnal. Bartok ripped off Hungarian folk songs. Led Zeppelin. I should have quit you. Long time ago. Ripped off Howlin' Wolf. I should have quit you. A long time ago. See if you can catch the sample here. Sound familiar?
Oh, loving mother, when the world's on fire.
That's where that song came from.
To be your pillow, I'd be your...
I mean, what's going on here? The Carter family covering, sampling Woody Guthrie, or the other way around? Who knows where he got that melody? This isn't just about songs and art and writers, though. Writers who can get in trouble for plagiarism. Memo to Fareed Zakaria over at Time and CNN. Isaac Newton, in describing his brilliance in discovering the laws of motion, claimed that he was merely standing on the shoulders of the giants who went before him. We need to recall this more often when we obsess about creativity and innovation and our fetish over originality in art and culture. Originality, there's no such thing, says our next guest. Kirby Ferguson is a filmmaker and creator of the four-part video series Everything is a Remix. Creativity is stealing. Kirby, what have you stolen lately?
Everything. Well, I couldn't begin to tell you.
Welcome to The Takeaway. He's speaking to us from the CBC studios in Charlottetown in Prince Edward Island, Canada. Why is this an important sort of aesthetic reminder, do you think, Kirby?
It's important because the alternative that we have is genius and talent and gifts. You know, these abilities that sort of seem to come from nowhere, you know, you can't learn it. And I think it's, you know, it's a more empowering way of looking at creativity.
Why do you think you got such a response to your TED talk, which basically takes up this theme, Everything is a Remix?
I mean, I think the same reason as the whole thing has connected with people. I think because it, you know, it takes creators down a peg, and I think I say that in a positive way. Not it makes them a little more human, and it makes you think that, you know, maybe I can do that too.
So how does the creative process work? And you know, let's go back to Picasso for a moment. What do you think the difference is between copying, which is what Picasso said good artists do, I suppose, referring to their technical expertise? If you can copy Titian, you're good at something, I suppose, versus great artists who steal. The difference between copying and stealing, do you think? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the audacity of how you do it. I think copying is just sort of a humble thing where you just sort of, you know, just try to do what another guy's doing. I think stealing, you're taking it, and I mean, this is my interpretation, but I think you're taking it and you're just kind of doing your own thing with it. So, you know, it's a more audacious form. And you're not afraid of what you're actually doing.
You know, you can feel this, and there's a certain exhilaration to cover tunes. Mm-hmm. You know, Bob Dylan does a fantastic version, of course, of All Along the Watchtower, the song he wrote, but Hendrix's is better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would completely agree with that.
And there's a genius to what he did with that song that is absolutely art, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's a totally, that's the way it used to work, you know, before the kind of the modern pop era, singers and performers weren't really expected to write their own music. And then that carried over into like the, you know, the Bob Dylans and the Stones and the Beatles and acts like that. You know, when you started out, at least you worked out your chops by, you know, playing other people's songs.
Is there a strength in numbers piece here that the culture is more vibrant and vital when people feel that they have permission to kind of sample stuff, take and repurpose things and put it out there and even let the original artists see what they did with it.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think it's a liberation to be able to, do it honestly, because I think what we've got now with the sort of laws and the sort of system that we have in place, everybody kind of covers their tracks, and I don't think that's a win for anybody, really. Like, it doesn't let us know, where this stuff is coming from, and people have to, fiddle with their stuff in non-creative ways to, just make it sound different from what somebody else is doing.
Speaking to us from Charlottetown, Canada, is Kirby Ferguson, a filmmaker and creator of the four-part video series Everything is a Remix. So I guess culturally, Canada kind of has to rely on this ripping off thing pretty much all the time, right?
I don't know. I mean, we're basically, I mean, culturally, we're sort of a lot like the United States. So I'm not sure. But I actually live in New York, by the way.
Right. No, I'm just, it's always, I love taking cheap shots at Canada, a place I love,
we
by
love
the way.
We love it, too.
Yeah. So let's talk about the legal implications of all of this.
Sure.
Do intellectual property laws and our sort of cultural fetish with ownership of creative content, does that get in the way of collaboration and creativity on some level?
I believe it does. I mean, I think the place where it is the most toxic is in software right now. So a company like Apple, they have patents on, very broad things like slide to unlock, that thing you do when you pick up your iPhone and you unlock it. They own just that idea. So, it doesn't matter which way you implement it. They have a patent on that and they can go after you. So, and that leads to, these companies known as patent trolls, which are these corporations that have no income, and they litigate to make money. So they file these patents, and then they pursue anybody who, does anything kind of remotely similar to what their patents claim to cover.
And in fact, the former chief science executive, I believe, at Microsoft, Nathan Myhrvold, is one of these. Right?
Yeah, I believe his company is called Intellectual Ventures. Yeah, and I believe they get called Intellectual Vultures. I think that's their nickname.
And, we didn't get a response from them, but that's what they are called, and they are in this business of basically buying and selling patents as opposed to coming up with maybe new patentable technology. What are some of your favorite covers, samples, ripoffs in any field, be it technical, artistic, pop realm?
Well, I mean, the three ones I really love are the few I mentioned in the video series. So there's Led Zeppelin, George Lucas, Star Wars in particular, the first Star Wars film, and Apple. Those, right off the bat, those are three of my favorites for sure.
Well, let's talk about Lucas. What are his sources?
His sources, a lot of Japanese films, samurai stuff, Western films, war films, a lot of sci-fi from like the 50s and earlier, Flash Gordon. All that stuff kind of gets combined into a stew in Star Wars.
And in many ways, Star Wars is doing exactly what opera has always done. They basically rip off a story and rip off a script and make it into a much more elaborate musical piece called the opera.
Absolutely. Or Shakespeare. And I mean, the genius of Lucas was just, doing it so well. And, I mean, visually, it is visionary. It is, nothing like any of those. So he takes, the platform that they built and, builds his own on top of it.
Is plagiarism a problem under this view of the world?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think plagiarism is okay. I certainly wouldn't go so far to claim that. But I think plagiarism is when you kind of steal the whole thing. You're not taking chunks and mixing them together or transforming them or whatever. You're just sort of taking the whole thing and you're claiming that it's yours. And I think that's the distinction.
Do you think hip-hop music helps to drive this sense of ownership is what you add, not what you sort of create and keep everybody away from?
I don't know. I mean, it used to. That's for sure. Like back in the early days, you didn't have to license your samples. You could just kind of draw from whatever. Now you got to clear everything. And if you use, more than a few samples, the original owners of the music are going to want, a big cut of your royalties. And, you can only use one or two samples because after that, you're beyond 100% of your royalties.
And to be a filmmaker these days, you have to know that law. You have to be half lawyer to be a filmmaker, even.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, people are scared nowadays, and that's something that I definitely like to see go away or lessen.
Well, we'd love to talk more about it, but you have to go study your law books there. Kirby Ferguson, filmmaker and creator of the four-part video series Everything is a Remix. We'd love to know what you think about this. Kirby, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.